This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. In just a little while, we're going to take a test together to find out if you are an empath. Dr. Judith Orloff is our guest, and she is a clairvoyant and a psychiatrist and an empath who writes books about helping people handle their empathic nature, but also how to cultivate empathy as a superpower. Empathy has often been seen as a weakness, Dr. Orloff says, but empathy can be used to help us in all of our relationships, especially dealing with difficult people. The thing that I came away with after talking to Dr. Judith Orloff is all of our relationships are ours to fix, and that really we have incredible power to use emotional intelligence and empathy to change almost every situation. Dr. Judith Orloff, the New York Times best-selling author of The Genius of Empathy.
Yes, I'm a psychiatrist, and I also specialize in empathy, and so I've written a book called The Genius of Empathy with a foreword by the Dalai Lama, and it's about how we can use empathy to feel what's going on in other people and have a compassion for what's going on in other people, as well as set boundaries and be very, very strong, because empathy is considered sometimes a weakness. And it isn't, it's a strength. And so we need this to bring us together with our families, our friends, and even on a greater level in terms of the world, in order to bridge our differences. So empathy is feeling what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. Very powerful.
I'm guessing, though, it's not very easy, because if having empathy for other people was easy, we probably wouldn't be in the shape we're in today, right?
Absolutely. And that's why I wrote the book, was to educate people how to use it. And it's a very practical book. It has practical action steps. How do you have empathy with your mother-in-law? How do you have empathy with a coworker who's annoying? How do you have empathy with a family member who's going through a medical problem? And how do you not absorb the negative energy of other people into your own body? You see, because people are afraid of empathy because they're so afraid of taking on other people's pain. And if they feel too much, they're going to absorb it. And if they're an empath, they very well might. And so this book teaches you how not to do that, how to observe, not absorb.
A lot of people are saying they're empaths these days. Is everybody right about that?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. When I first wrote, you know, the book, I wasn't quite sure how many empaths there were out there. But now it is a social media trend. Everybody thinks they're an empath. And I specialize working with empaths. So a lot of them are real. I can't vouch for the whole bunch of them. I have no idea.
You can't vouch for everybody on TikTok, right? But aren't we all a little bit empathic? I mean, even to some degree, aren't we all empaths?
Most of us are. There's a chapter on narcissists, sociopaths, and psychopaths, and these are people who have empathy deficient disorder and are not capable of having empathy. So it's important that all you sensitive people out there, you know, learn to diagnose the narcissists and know how to deal with them if you must have them in your life, or learn how to say no to them and not get involved with them. And so those people do not have empathy, and that's what's so hard for the sensitive empathic people to get, that they feel, if only I could heal them, if only I could understand them, if only I could be by their side, they'll heal, and they won't.
And
so
they
it's
won't.
Really hard, it's hard for empaths to get that.
Right. All right. So what's the first thing we should do if, say, people that we work with or have to deal with every day, what's the first thing we should do if they trigger us?
Okay. Number one, take a deep breath. Calm yourself. Train yourself. Do not react when you're in a triggered state. You might, if you can't help yourself, you might want to Just say, please excuse me, I'll be right back. I really want to listen to you. And so you have to calm yourself down, because if you come from a triggered state, you lose all your power and you don't succeed in your goal, which I would assume would be getting along with people at work. You know, it's not to fight with them. And so you have to get yourself centered at first. And then you have to, let's say they're talking about something you don't agree with, you know, and you could say, you know, I hear what you say. I'm going to give it a lot of thought. And that's all I have at the moment. And I wish you the best with this. So, you know, you need to give them, I hear you. You know, that's something that everybody wants to have said to them. And oftentimes people don't get that, where I would say, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And you make a good point, as opposed to, you jerk, how could you believe this? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a different, it's rising up in terms of how to be emotionally intelligent. That's what I'm suggesting with the genius of empathy, as opposed to just fighting it out on the lower levels of, you did this and I did that and it's your fault, and, you know, which gets you nowhere.
Nowhere. All right. So I'm looking at this and thinking, Dr. Orloff, that we need some degree of self-awareness and then some degree of self-discipline. Yes.
Yes, ideally, but then you have to ask yourself, and I'm asking all my readers this, do you want your relationships to be better? Do you want the relationships better with your children or your spouse or your friends? And empathy is a sure way to do that. Instead of arguing with them as a first response, you can say, I hear what you're saying and I'll give it some thought. I mean, even that will befriend them. That will calm them down. So it's yes, we need emotional intelligence, and yes, there are simple things we can say that could bring empathy in.
Wow. All right. This sounds like a wonderful practice. Can people actually get sick from dealing with people who drive them crazy?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a psychiatrist and an empath, and so one reason why I'm so interested in this is because I know when your heart is very open, you could take on other people's energy and even physical symptoms. I write about empathic illnesses where you can take on someone's headache or someone's stomach ache or someone's depression or their anger. You can do that if you're really sensitive. You don't want to do that. And in the book, I train people how not to do that. But in answer to your great question, yes, people can get sick by being around other toxic people if they're open. If they're not empaths, they're not as likely to do that.
Right. But those other people can sure step on our nerves and push all our buttons and drive us crazy. Do we have to protect ourselves a little bit from that kind of energy?
Yes. I talk about various protection strategies. One is a shielding strategy where you visualize a shield of white light all around you, protecting you and keeping you safe from anything that's not good for you, anything toxic. But then again, it allows positive energy in. So you can feel empathically what's making someone happy, what they're celebrating about. You know, you want to absorb that because it's positive. But the toxic energy that people give up, you don't. So you want to protect yourself. And also, another tool I talk about in the genius of empathy is setting boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries, saying a healthy no to somebody, a positive no, not a bitter no, not a frustrated no, but just, no, I'm so sorry, I can't do that now. No, I don't have the time to help you with your project or whatever you need. But in this book, I teach people how to use their tone of voice to wield empathy. And the tone of voice is very important. You can get away with saying more things if your tone of voice is calm and caring, even though you might not like the person. You don't have to like the person to do this.
We're talking to UCLA psychiatrist Dr. Judith Orloff. Did you have a tough time of it growing up when you were realizing that you were empathic?
Oh, yeah. I had a terrible time. I was an only child, and I had two physician parents and 25 physicians in my family. And I was this little girl who would get overwhelmed going to shopping malls because I was picking up the energy. And I would have very strong intuitions that came true that my parents finally told me to not mention any of them at home again. So I grew up ashamed of my sensitivities. And so it took me, you know, a that's been my journey, is coming to grips with the power and beauty of empathy, and it's how I want to live, as well as learning how to protect myself and not be ashamed of it. But many people with these sensitivities grow up ashamed of their abilities. And I just want to say to everyone, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's only everything is right with you. You just didn't get the proper education. And that's why I wrote The Genius of Empathy, because I think it will really help you let go of your shame and learn some skills where you could maximize your empathy and still be very, very strong and heartfelt.
25 physicians in the family. Holidays had to be something else.
There was a lot of talk about medical issues.
I bet. Dr. Orloff, I'm wondering, because on TikTok, right next to narcissists and empaths, we have all the help from all the experts with ADHD. Does ADHD come with empathy as part of its constellation?
Not so much. That's more in the realm of neurodiversity and divergence. That's a little bit of a different thing. I write about the autistic spectrum disorder a little bit in this book, because people who are on the autistic spectrum disorder often feel overwhelmed and have a hypersensitivity to light, sound, smells, and they don't like to be touched necessarily, you know, when they're in this state. So they have some of that common sensory overload symptomatology, but it's, other than that, there's not a lot of overlap. So, you know, at this point, I don't see it. Okay. I have a group on Facebook with empaths, and I'm often asked that question by my members who are neurodivergent. And, it just doesn't seem like there's a necessary correlation, though there could be. And an old line of thinking was that people on the spectrum don't have empathy, and that's totally not true. You know, that's an old belief, and it's one that makes people on the spectrum feel isolated and not understood. They just have a different way of perceiving others that we need to understand with our empathy, and they need to understand us with their empathy, that we're different from them.
Give us, please, one tool we could use in our toolbox the next time we feel triggered dealing with someone who we don't really care for.
Yes, just tell yourself, I can have empathy for someone even though I don't like them. I want to be that kind of person. And I can say no, say a positive no, and practice a boundary and say, no, I'm so sorry. I can't do that right now, but I wish you the best of luck with it, you know, and then end the conversation and practice the empathic tone of voice, which is matter of fact but kind. So begin to train yourself to respond to people you might not like, but you respond to them in a powerful and sensitive way, but also closing the door. You're not going to have a long talk with them. You're just getting out the positive no. So the exercise is setting a positive boundary to protect yourself.
Matter of fact, but kind. I love it. Finally, Dr. Orloff, your new book, The Genius of Empathy. How did you get the Dalai Lama to write the foreword?
It's a miracle. I just submitted my book to his website, and 4 months later, I got a note saying he found the book of great promise, and he wanted to write the foreword to it. And he wrote a lovely, short, wonderful foreword on the difference between empathy and compassion and the importance of empathy. And so I'm very proud of that, and I hope readers can enjoy his short foreword and just feel who he is. And so that's how I got the Dalai Lama to write the foreword.
Beautiful. Dr. Judith Orloff, we can feel who you are today. Thank you for your time. Where can we go for more information?
You could go to my website, which is drjudithorloff.com, and that's where The Genius of Empathy is. You can get it there. And also my other book, The Empath Survival Guide, a test that you can take to find out how much of an empath you are, if there are any people out there who are wondering. That's a 20-question self-assessment test. And that's on the website as well.
That is Dr. Judith Orloff, who says empathy is an extraordinary human trait that will open your heart and empower your life. So are you ready to take the test at drjudithorloff.com? Here are the 20 questions on the empath self-assessment. Keep track of the number of yeses you get. Have you been labeled as overly sensitive, shy, or introverted? Do you frequently get overwhelmed and anxious? Do arguments and yelling make you ill? Do you often feel like you don't fit in? Are you drained by crowds and need alone time to revive yourself? Are you overstimulated by noise, odors, or nonstop talkers? Do you have chemical sensitivities or can't tolerate scratchy clothes? Do you prefer taking your own car places so you can leave early if you need to? Do you overeat to cope with stress? Are you afraid of becoming suffocated by intimate relationships? Do you startle easily? Do you react strongly to caffeine or medications? Do you have a low pain threshold? Do you tend to socially isolate? Do you absorb other people's stress, emotions, or symptoms? Are you overwhelmed by multitasking and prefer to do one thing at a time? Do you replenish yourself in nature? Do you need a long time to recuperate after being with difficult people? Do you feel better in small cities or in the country than large cities? Do you prefer one-on-one interactions or small groups rather than large gatherings? Those are the 20 questions. How many yeses did you get? If you answered yes to 1 to 5 questions, you're at least partially an empath. Responding yes to 6 to 10 questions means you have moderate empathic tendencies. Responding yes to 11 to 15 means you have strong empathetic tendencies. And answering yes to more than 15 questions means that you are a full-blown empath. Now, being an empath is different from being empathetic. Being empathetic is when your heart goes out to someone else. Being an empath means you can actually feel another person's happiness or sadness in your own body. This from Dr. Judith Orloff's website. And you can go to drjudithorloff.com for more information. So when I took the test the first time, I got 19 out of 20. When I took the test the second time, I got 18 out of 20. I am surprised by all of this. Let me tell you the ones that I think I had a no to. Are you afraid of being suffocated by intimate relationships? I don't think I am. But then again, I don't let people too close. And the other one was, do I have a low pain threshold? I don't know. I think I can suck it up and like walk on coals if I had to. It's an interesting conversation. And Judith talked about being in shopping malls. And if you're a longtime listener to the show, you've probably heard me say that all through the 80s and the 90s, when everybody was going to the mall, I could not. I tried. But going to a shopping mall always ended in like shakes and tears and sweating. I didn't think they were empathic tendencies. I thought I was just a mess. And as I've mentioned before, if I'm in like a shopping mall experience, I will hear the baby crying 3 stores away. And my situation is I feel like I have to fix it. Now, having done a lot of work around this type of situation, and I can feel some people shaking their heads in agreement, like, yeah, I have that too. What I have found is that many people have gone through childhood trauma or grew up in chaos or had traumatic experiences in their youth, which is the category I fall into. You develop this oversensitivity to reading the room. So I know I have that. I know I've developed an oversensitivity to going into a group and vibing out who has the most unsettled energy. And I did that after going through traumatic experiences, and I had to learn how to do that to like protect myself. So the question I have to ask Dr. Judith Orloff, and I have to have her back on, is whether empathy can be... So my thought is, being an empath or feeling other people's feelings can come to you naturally or can come to you in other ways, perhaps. So maybe there's a fine line to being empathetic and overly sensitive. But fun stuff to talk about, right? Fun stuff to talk about. And the thing is, whether you're empathic or overly sensitive, I think other people can pick up on that and make a beeline right to you and throw their stuff all over you. So whether you're empathic or overly sensitive, Dr. Judith Orloff's book may be very helpful in creating boundaries and shielding yourself so you can live your healthiest and happiest. I'll tell you a funny story. I went out to dinner last weekend for my friend Jim's birthday. There were five couples. And I usually find excuses because a guest that I had on the show many, many years ago, Joan Anderson, the wonderful author who wrote A Year by the Sea, I went to one of her weekend retreats. Oh my gosh, it was beautiful, in Mohonk Mountain House. I guess that's maybe 16 years ago now. But something she said at that retreat, and also she's been a guest on the show, is this. No truth passes across a table with more than four people at it. Joan was known for her dinner parties and socializing with friends. And that fell away in her life because she wanted more authenticity and she wanted more honest conversation. And I feel exactly the same way. When you're at a big group or a dinner party, all of the conversation, in my opinion, is going to stay superficial. And I really just don't want to waste my time on superficial and polite conversation. It does nothing for me. You may be good at it and you may love those interactions. Makes me want to run screaming from the room. So I get to this dinner party with my dear friend Jim, who I adore like a brother. And we got there early and I said, Jim, you got to protect me. I need you on my left. I need my husband on my right. And I need another couple, Mike and Melinda, right in front of me. Because I feel safe, and that's all I can handle tonight. And Jim gets me. And as people came into the dinner party at this wonderful Italian restaurant, he just said, oh, why don't you sit over there? Why don't you sit over here? And he made it all happen, and I had a great time. And I'm looking at all of this now in a different light after taking this empathy test on Dr. Judith Orloff's website. Fun stuff. Listen, when the girls get together at a Shine On retreat, I have no problem with any of the conversation there because I know we're all there of like mind to heal and restore and encourage each other. So if you haven't signed up yet, I encourage you to join us at the Shine On weekend retreat, August 23rd through the 25th. It's going to sell out any minute. And you can find out more at caseysplace.com. Our thought for the day is from the Dalai Lama, who said, happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from our own actions. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. I'm Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. Have a great week.